6:13. Tad Roma Bila Jaleshu Bijam Sankarshanatsicha Haimanyandani Jatani Mahabhuva Bhutta Britani Tu. The spiritual seeds of Sankarshan existing in the pores of the skin of Mahavishnu are born as so many golden sperms. These sperms are covered with five great elements. Another translation of that. The divine seeds of Sankarshan are born from the pores of Mahavishnu as infinite golden egg cells. Those golden cells are covered by the five great elements, which says Mahabhuta. Mahabhuta, as you already know, are earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Right? Of its purport. So this verse 13 talks about the birth of the universes. Everything has its birth. Birth of the universes. So-called birth. It's just like we have a birth, but we're eternal, right? The prime divine avatar lying in the spiritual causal ocean is such a great affair that in the pores of his divine form spring up myriads of seeds of the universes. Another way of saying that is, such is the colossal magnitude of the function of Mahavishnu. In kind of a short way of saying it. Now the second sentence. Those series of universes are the perverted reflections of the infinite transcendental region. Or, infinite billions of seeds, each a universe, are produced from the pores of his body. In other words, it gives you an idea of the bigness of Mahavishnu. Now, sentence three. As long as they remain embedded in his divine form, they embody the principle of spiritual reflection, having the form of golden eggs. Now, another way of saying that. Those universes are copies of the infinite abode of the spiritual world. As long as they remain within the body of Mahavishnu, they are lower or hazy aspects of divinity. Next sentence. Nevertheless, by the creative desire of Mahavishnu, the minute particles of the great... Another way of saying that. When Mahavishnu decides to create the material world, a subtle form of the five great elements covers those seed-like universes. Okay? That's what it said. Now, sentence four. When those golden sperms coming out with the exhalation of Mahavishnu enter into the unlimited accommodating chamber of the limited potency Maya, they become enlarged by the non-conglomerate great elements. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains that when these seeds of the universe enter the accommodating chamber of Maya, they expand due to taking in the different elements that are there in their Mahatattva. That means non-conglomerate means this word, the last word in the purport says non-conglomerate. The non-conglomerate great elements, that's when the fire, ether, fire, air, earth, water, all those elements, when they're non-conglomerate, it means the Mahatattva. That's what it means. The elements are not combined or cooperating at this point in creation. It's just one mass. It's called the Pradhan. So then the Jiva Goswami says, we have to remember that all the elements are actually persons. Ultimately, everything in this universe is personal, except maybe ourselves. You're all persons. We're the kind of entities that Gurudev was looking for when he came to the Paschim Desh. When he came to the Western countries, he was looking for Nirvishesh and Shunyavadis. So he picked one up. It means those that are non-personal. Nirvishesh and Shunyavadi. At any rate, Jiva Goswami says that we should remember that all the elements are persons, and just like you can't combine, get a group of people together unless they want to get together, you can't get the elements together unless they want to get together either. There is a deity of the earth named
Bhumi,
and a deity of the water named Varuna, a deity of fire named Agni, and air, Vayu, sky, and ether. I don't know his name, but at this point in creation, the point in verse 13, the coverings of the universe have not yet happened. The great elements, Mahabhuta, which you know is mentioned a few verses, is in this verse, Mahabhuta Vritani. This verse has the word Mahabhutani, and Mahabhuta means the five elements. Just like the universe is covered by a layer of earth, and then water, which is 10 times thicker than the layer of earth, and goes on and on like that. And at this point in creation, they're not yet spread out into different elements. They're kind of non-differentiated. They're not assembled. They're like the analogy that was given by Tamal Krishnaraj when I attended the class. He said that the great elements are like separated parts of a car. They're not yet assembled. The parts don't join automatically. They need intelligence to combine them. Therefore, until the Lord enters the universe, the parts won't join automatically. This is followed by text 19, which further explains the idea of conglomerate. Of course, it's chronologically, it's followed by text 14. In other words, next text is 14. But if you want to continue with this idea of conglomerate and that, it's discussed more in text 19. So 13 and 19 have some connection. So I'll read verse 14. Pratyandam evam ekam shad vishati swayam, sahasra murda vishwatma mahavishnu sanatanaha. Translation. The same Mahavishnu entered into each universe as his own separate subjective portions. The divine portions that entered into each universe are possessed of his majestic extension. That is, they are the eternal universal soul Mahavishnu, possessing thousands of heads. And a secondary translation of this verse number 14 reads like this. Mahavishnu enters into each and every universe or cosmic egg in his individual plenary portion known as Garbhadakshay Vishnu, who is all-powerful and transcendental, just like Mahavishnu, and he also possesses thousands upon thousands of heads. Garbhadakshay Vishnu is the super soul of that of the universes. Purport. Mahavishnu, lying in the spiritual causal ocean, is the subjective portion of Mahasankarshan. Right, plenary portion. He's an expansion. He entered as his own subjective portions into those universes. In other words, he enters each and every universe that emanates from him in his personal portion known as Garbhadakshay Vishnu. These individual portions all represent the second divine Purusha lying in the ocean of conception, which and is identical with Mahavishnu in every respect. That's really quite simplistic what's being said in these verses, but somehow or other it sounds complicated. Another way of saying that is that Garbhadakshay Vishnu is the second Purusha avatar, and he is similar in all respects to Mahavishnu, and he lies in an ocean called the Garbho, Garbhodakshay. Garbho means womb. That's why it says the ocean of conception. It doesn't mean conception like your idea, it means conception like to give birth, right? Immaculate conception. Krishna's birth with Vasudeva and Devaki, from Devaki, is considered immaculate conception. It's a transference of bhav from the pure heart of Vasudeva to the pure heart of Devaki, just like Jesus and, or was it, Joseph and Mary. It's also immaculate conception. and has a remarkable resemblance to the Srimad Bhagavatam. The birth of Jesus sounds exactly like the birth of Krishna in description. Okay. So, there's the thing. He is also spoken of as the divine guide from within of all souls. In other words, Garbhadakshay Vishnu is known as the collective Antaryami, or the omnipresent super soul of the universes. Anything about that? Oh, actually, this verse, I read that. Yeah. Any questions about that, 14? Excuse me? Yeah, well, there's the universe itself. It says that Garbhadakshay Vishnu is the super soul of all the universes. And then Garbhadakshay Vishnu expands into each universe as Shiradakshay Vishnu. Then sometimes it says that Garbhadakshay Vishnu is either the super soul of the universe or Shiradakshay. Basically, Shiradakshay Vishnu is generally considered to be the super soul in every living entity. And Garbhadakshay Vishnu is the super soul of all the universes. And we'll read more about that also. It'll become more clear as we read. What are the seeds? Well, that's what the whole thing we've been discussing about. It's just like there's the womb. It's all Vishnu. You know, it's all his different potencies are contained in the seed. It's like all the man's potencies are contained in the seed. It includes karma of the jiva. It includes the genes of the individual. So when a man impregnates a woman with his semen, that's considered his seed. It's the man's seed, and the woman is like the womb, right? So in that seed, there's a jiva. So there's a jiva shakti. And that jiva has his own karmas, his prabdha karmas. But then also included in that seed is a particular, is the icha, the desire of the man, and also some of the imprint, the genealogical imprint of the man. So although that jiva, he looks like the father, or looks like the mother, because all that's kind of wrapped up inside the seed, he has his own, although he looks like the father, he has his own karmas. He becomes a devotee and the father's a demon. so he has a unique individual karmic template, so the seeds that are emanating from Mahavishnu are like that. They're coming from his pores, from his breathing, and they're part of him, so they're chit potency, they're chit shakti, that part of him is considered a pencil ray of the effulgence. So that is the jiva shakti, which is part of him. Jiva means a very minute particle of chit shakti. We are one in quality with the Lord, but not in quantity. And then he covers it over with the kala shakti and his we've been reading all these things. So that's kind of what the golden, in other words, they say that gold and silver, that when Lord Shiva, we're hearing about Shambhu, when he pursued Mohini Murti, then he passed semen. So his semen is different Puranic stories, Nitihasas that explain the result of his passing semen. But one is that it formed gold and silver. So this is golden sperms, it says golden sperms or golden seeds. So then this is what it is. It's Mahavishnu plus it's Mahavishnu with it's enveloped with his chit shakti, with his kala shakti, with his icha shakti, with his kriya shakti, and then it's being carried by Rama. This is what it all is. And also contained within it, from what I can understand, is this pradhan, the primordial, the aspect of the material elements. But at this point, they're not material. It's like we're kind of in between the lines, what's coming through here. So we use terms like prototype demigods, and we use terms like the elements, but they're personal. Well, the ultimate person, the elements are actually also chit shakti. Just like in the spiritual world, they're spiritual elements that are nothing but the body of Balaram. And so this golden, these sperms or these seeds also contain these unmanifested aspect of the elements. The elements will come manifest when the whole thing is impregnated into Ramadevi, the accommodating chamber, which becomes Durga. Then all these energies, Icha Shakti and Kala Shakti, act on that, in the context of that womb, they act to differentiate and break everything up into different layers of the universe, and then ego, then all these things. And some of that is, you're kind of jumping the gun, but some of that's going to be discussed with these verses. That's what all these verses are about. Because all this is happening instantaneously, but all this is required. Like in these verses, this is verses Garbhadakshay Vishnu, then 15 is Vishnu, Brahma, and Shambhu. Then there's Shambhu in relation with the Jivas, 16. And 17 is the preservation, creation, and destruction. And 18 is Brahma's origin. So this is how, you know, I can't say I clearly understand it all, but from what I like, what I'm studying, this is what I understand. Ultimately, everything is spiritual. Everything is spirit, but as it expands, it takes on different flavors or different aspects. As it, because Krishna ultimately has one, it's just Shakti and Shaktiman, it's Radha and Krishna. But then for the purposes of analysis, we say, oh, Krishna has unlimited energies, Prasthi Shakti Vividaya Shuyate. But then we say, well, if you want to analyze Krishna's energies, there's three. But ultimately there's only one, there's Chit Shakti. Chit potency. We use the term chit potency or chit shakti. So then for the purpose of analysis, we say that the Lord has Bahiranga Shakti, Antaranga, and Tatastha. But is it really that? It's really, it's all Radha and Krishna. They emanate and they just, you know, and expand from them. But as they expand, they never lose contact. The effect never loses contact with the cause. So the original cause of everything is Satchidananda. Sat, Sandini, Samvid, and Ladini. So ultimately, those are just three aspects of Chit Shakti, which means spiritual energy, Swarup Shakti, Krishna's divine spiritual potency. But then, so then what are we? Well, we're like this little guy down here, covered with a body, but we're also Satchidananda. And we're also Chit potency, a tiny infinite particle of Chit potency. And what are these elements? The elements are also Chit potency. That's why sometimes Prabhupada says that the only difference between the material world and the spiritual world is the consciousness. As soon as you change your consciousness, the world changes from dark to light. It's just a matter of turning on the switch. So some people thought the switch was, tune in, what is it? Drop, anyway, take acid and you could, that was the switch. You take LSD and wow, everything's divine and pulsating and colorful and moving and emotional and, full of vibration and love and oneness and harmony. But then that's if you have a good trip. And then if you have a bad trip, it's like, wow, what are all these guys coming out of this space, all these demons and rakshasas coming out of the, holes between the space, as they say. So at least I've read these things. There's some descriptions. So that's not the way, but ultimately everything is spiritual. Let's go on. Keep in mind, I said this the other day, that the material creation is not so linear and stepwise as it may sound. Actually, many activities simultaneously are happening instantaneously to cause creation. Garbhadakshay Vishnu and Shiradakshay Vishnu are identical to Mahavishnu, because they are his direct expansions, as mentioned here. And it says, the last line of the purport says he's the divine guide. Divine guide is super soul, but don't confuse him with Shiradakshay Vishnu, who is a super soul within us and all things in this universe. Garbhadakshay Vishnu is called the Samasti Antaryami. So he's the Samasti, like Samasti Antaryami. Antaryami means one who went inside, Antaryami. All the Jivas together, including Lord Brahma, he's the super soul of everyone. All the Jivas everywhere. Garbhadakshay Vishnu is the guide of Brahma. Right? From Garbhadakshay Vishnu, which we'll hear, Brahma comes. So the super soul of Brahma is also Garbhadakshay Vishnu. Here, Garbhadakshay Vishnu is referred to as the Samasti Antaryami Purusha. That's in relation to your question. And we'll hear more about that also. Text 15. Vam Angad Astrijad Vishnum Dakshinangad Prajapatim Jyotir Lingamayam Shambhum Kurcha Deshad Avastrijat. So this verse talks about Vishnu, Brahma, and Shambhu. But here Brahma is called Prajapati or Prajapatim. The same Mahavishnu created Vishnu from his left limb. Brahma the first progenitor of beings from his right limb. And from the space between his two eyebrows, Shambhu, the divine masculine, manifested halo. Another way to read that translation. This Garbhadakshaya Vishnu created Kshiradakshaya Vishnu from his left side, Prajapati Brahma from his right side, and Shambhu, the divine masculine effulgence, from between his eyebrows. Purport. The divine Purusha lying in the ocean of milk, the same who is the regulator of all individual souls, is Sri Vishnu. In other words, this verse refers to Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, who reclines in the ocean of milk and is present in the hearts of all jivas as the Antaryami Supersoul. Alright? And Hiranyagarbha, the seminal principle, the portion of the Supreme Lord, is the prime progenitor who is different from the four-faced Brahma. So here we're starting to hear something about the prototype demigods, the spiritual Brahma, the spiritual Shiva, the spiritual Vishnu. So Prajapati Hiranyagarbha, when they say the primal progenitor, that means he's the prototype or the original Brahma. Hiranyagarbha is distinct. He is distinct or different from the four-headed Lord Brahma that he is the seed or the cause of. Right? It says he's the prime progenitor who is different from. Next sentence. This same Hiranyagarbha is the principle of seminal creating energy of every Brahma belonging to each of the infinity of universes. What that means is this prototype or this original Hiranyagarbha, he is the seed principle of all the Lord Brahmas for all the different universes. And actually he's a form of Krishna. Next sentence. The divine masculine manifested halo Shambhu is a plenary manifestation of his prototype Shambhu, the same as the primary divine masculine generative symbol, Shambhu, whose nature has already been described. So we'll hear these terms a lot and we'll gradually come to understand. I'll read this in different translations. There is also a prototype Shiva. Prototype means the original, the source. And in this sense, actually these mean spiritual prototypes from which all the others come. There is also a prototype Shiva, already described as the original primal generative Shambhu. And this Shambhu described here is a plenary manifestation of the divine masculine effulgence. In other words, now we're talking about in an individual universe, the Shiva that's there, that comes from from Mahavishnu. He's not the prototype. He's not the original. Vishnu is the integral subjective portion of Mahavishnu. In other words, Kshiradakshaya Vishnu is the plenary expansion of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. He's Swamsha Tattva, and he is the Supreme Lord. The sentence goes on. He is the great Lord of all the other lords. In other words, he's the Supreme Lord of all, including Lord Brahma and Shiva, who are his separated parts, Vivinamsha. The progenitor Brahma and Shambhu are the dislocated portions of Mahavishnu. Hence, they are gods with delegated functions. His own potency being on the left side of Godhead, Vishnu appears in the left limb of Mahavishnu from the unalloyed essence of his spiritual chit potency. In other words, since the Lord's personal potency or Shakti always stays at his left side, Kshiradakshaya Vishnu appears from the left side of the body of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, being manifested by his chit potency. Vishnu, the book goes on, Vishnu, who is Godhead himself, is the inner guiding oversoul of every individual soul. In other words, Shiradakshaya Vishnu is the super soul present within the hearts of all jivas. He is the personality of Godhead described in the Vedas as being the measure of a thumb. He is the nourisher or the maintainer. There's one. Okay. The Karmis or the elevationists, they worship him as Yajneshvara Narayan. In other words, Narayan, the Lord of Sacrifice. Yajna Purush, Yajneshvara, Yajna Ishvara. In other words, they do so much, you know, Yajna, Swaha, Swaha, and then Karma. They do so much Yajna to go up to Swargaloka and the higher planets. And the yogis, they desire to merge their identities in him as Paramatma by the process of their meditative trance. In other words, the yogis meditate on Shiradakshaya Vishnu as Paramatma, desiring to become one with him. Some different notes are there about prototype demigods. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati in verse 15, he makes it very clear that the Brahma and Shiva mentioned in this verse are not the ones, these are not the ones in the universe. The Shambhu here is also different from the glance Shambhu. The Brahma is Hiranyagarbha Brahma. The Vishnu is Shiradakshaya Vishnu. So Prajapati means Hiranyagarbha. And Jiva says, this is not the four-faced Brahma. Right? That the four-faced Brahma that we know, he creates all the different, you know, demigods, prototype demigods. There's a verse in the second canto of Bhagavatam which describes this also. Chapter 5, verse 30 says that from the mode of goodness, the mind is generated and becomes manifested, and also the 10 demigods controlling the bodily movements. Such demigods are known as the controller of directions, the controller of air, the sun god, the father of Daksha Prajapati, the Ashwini Kumaras, the fire god, the king of heaven, the worshipful deity in heaven, the chief of the Adityas, and Brahmaji, the Prajapati, they all come into existence. And then the purport here says, this part of Srimad Bhagavatam is describing the initial creation from Pradhan to Mahatattva. In the Bhagavatam, various places, it discusses the material creative principle. In verse 22 of the same book, it says the prototype Brahma. So I have more notes about this. Hiranyagarbha, the word Hiranya means gold. See, it says Prajapatim. In the verse it says Prajapatim. Dakshina Angat, Dakshina means right side. Prajapatim, right? Right wing, right side. So in the word for word it says Prajapatim means Hiranyagarbha Brahma. So who is Hiranyagarbha Brahma? Hiranya means gold, like Hiranyakashipu, right? Garbha means egg. So Hiranyagarbha means the golden egg. It refers to Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. There are actually two Brahmas, Hiranyagarbha Brahma and Viragi Brahma, sometimes called Dhiraja Brahma. Viragi Brahma, V-I-R-A-G-I, Viragi, is the guna avatar who oversees material passion, and he's doing Srishti Karma. That means he is creating everything and engineering everything within a particular universe. Hiranyagarbha Brahma is a manifestation of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. This Hiranyagarbha Brahma is not four-headed like the four-headed Brahma in charge of our universe. He is a special prototype Brahma, something like a spiritual form. That's what they say. Hiranyagarbha Brahma is the basis for all the other Brahmas who will inhabit all the other universes. Now, in other words, depending on the size of the universe, Brahmas have different heads. Our universe being the smallest, Brahma only has four heads. But in other universes, Brahma has 8 heads, 16, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, 1 million. So many heads, depending on the size of the universe. But Hiranyagarbha Brahma, who is expanded from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, he is the source of all those multifarious Brahmas. Very special. All the Brahmas, I already said that, they have come later, they derive their creative impetus from this one seminal Brahma called Hiranyagarbha Brahma. This prototype Hiranyagarbha also creates all the demigods. These prototype demigods are created before the universes are created. These demigods control the directions, etc. Later, the Brahmas in each universe will create again their own demigods who live within the layers of the universe. Within the layer of earth is living Bhumi, within the layer of fire, Agni, and water, etc. Shiva is the destroyer of all these demigods, and Vishnu is the protector and maintainer. The prototype demigods empower their respective representative demigods within each universe. In other words, in our universe we have all these demigods. But there is an origin, just like we have this material form, but we also have a spiritual form, right? And Vishnu says in Vishnu Chakravartipad, Ovyal Kapoor quotes in his book on Raganuga Bhakti, purport of Vishnu, he says our spiritual forms are lying dormant in the spiritual world like unactivated statues or spiritual mannequins. They're waiting for the driver to turn on the ignition. They're spiritual forms. So all these demigods here, they have their spiritual prototypes. That's why sometimes people get confused. They say, what is this Sada Shiva and Lord Shiva? You know, there's Rudra and 11 Rudras, and there's Shiva, and then there's Sada Shiva, right? So there's Sada Shiva, Sada Brahma, some of Rudra. There's eternal forms of all the demigods. An eternal Shiva that's never destroyed and never, you know, he's actually non-different from Vishnu, just like yogurt and milk. I'm going to read some more, if you're not thoroughly confused already. In the beginning of the material creation, these same prototype or primal demigods, seeing that the elements cannot combine, they pray to Mahavishnu to help them combine the elements. It's a highly technical book. Now, there's some points of the purport we could discuss. In the purport of this verse, it comes down to about the middle of the paragraph. It says, integral subjective portion of Mahavishnu. So there was one note we have that. The Mahavishnu is the origin of Swamsha Tattva. There are Swamsha avatars, Vivinamsha avatars, and Krishna, who is the Swayam Purna Bhagavan. That verse is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That he is the Bhagavan, he's the complete Bhagavan, Purna Bhagavan, he's Swayam, he's the origin of all the others, along with his Amshas. The Jiva, we are Vivinamsha Tattva. Shiva is both Swamsha and Vibhinamsha. That's why we say there's Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva, then Shiva Tattva. He's between. He's not a Jiva and he's like the yogurt and milk. But he's also not material like us. So he's in his own category. He's Swamsha, just like the Lord's personal expansions and plenary expansions. But he's also like Vibhinamsha, very, very tiny in the same way, limited. In other words, it means that Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, he is Swamsha Tattva of Mahavishnu, who is the all-around supreme controller. Some questions? The question is raised here that there are so many 33 crore demigods, millions of demigods, and they are delegated with different functions and services, and within our own body, which is like a small universe, there's so many thousands of different demigods controlling all the functions of the body. So it seems that they're like super souls because they're controlling. But actually, they're simply servitors of the super soul. There's a verse in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse maybe 15 or so. The Sarvasya Chaham Riti Sannivishto Matasmatir Gyanam Apovanam Cha. says that from Krishna comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So we don't remember our prarabdha karmas or our anarabdha. We don't remember our karmas from last life and what punya we did, punya karmas and papa karmas. And we don't know, we're not delegating or giving out the good results or the bad results, the rewards and the punishments. But who's doing that? Krishna within the heart. He remembers, he doesn't forget. And then he has a group of agents. Agents, because he's simply, because Krishna in the heart is doing the same, the Shiradakshi in the heart is doing the same thing that Mahavishnu is doing and Garbhadakshi Vishnu. What's he doing? Yoga Nidra. He's engaged in pastimes. In your heart, he's having his Leela. Right? And so he's not going to be busy like opening your anus and closing it, and opening your eyelid and closing it. That's all done by demigods. You know, the sphincter muscle and the eye muscle and all these different, you know, like there's the little demigod that makes your eyelid go down when the Bhagavatam starts, right? Om Namo Bhagavate. Oh, that demigod's at work again. That demigod is very active, you know. He's putting those eyelids down all the time. Like when you come in the Brahma Samhita class after about 10 minutes, it's like, wow, this is too much. And then your friendly demigod wakes up and says, okay, poop, you know, Anand. So who's making that happen? And who's that? And that demigod, you're walking along and you're such an expert, you know, you're Olympic champion, you have so many awards for high jump and broad jump and hurdles and everything. And one day you're walking along, somehow you trip and you fall into a gutter at Sevakunj and you twist your ankle and you're in a cast for 6 months. Why is that? That's called papa karma. Suffering because of your sins. And what happened? You thought you had so much control. You don't have control. A demigod who's in control of your leg muscles and knee joints and all that, he was told, he got the message, he got the fax message from the boss. And all the super souls sent the fax message down and said, hey, guess what? Trip up the Olympic star. It's time for him to break his leg. You know, his karmas are fructifying now, his bad karmas. So then that demigod, you know, all of a sudden, hey, what happened? They said, well, how did you break your leg? Well, I tripped. You tripped? You have 5 gold medals and you're so agile and expert and dexterous. How did you trip? Well, I don't know what happened. I was just walking, my leg gave out. And so Krishna, he remembers all these things, so that he gives the karmas out through. So these demigods that are moving the different functions of our body and bringing happiness and distress in our body and mind, they are simply delegated servants of the super soul, Krishna. They are not the super soul. That's the answer to the question. The primal, in other words, the forms. Like the question is about the original form or prototype form of Lord Shiva. If you read in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, basically the Lord Shiva that you perceive, because Lord Shiva, as we heard about Narada Muni, he has many different forms. So one of his devotees, he has a great devotee named Kubera. Kubera is the treasurer of the demigods, and he's of course the demigod. And he's a great devotee of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva was very pleased with him, so he expanded himself from a Sadashiva form to one form to come and live in Kubera's planet. And Kubera has a very beautiful mountain on his planet, and the name of that mountain is?
Kailash.
And so sometimes you say Shiva lives in Kailash. Well, that's only because his devotee lives there, and he lives with his devotee and receives worship over there from Kubera. And so that's an expanded form of Lord Shiva. But in Sadashiva Loka, there's the eternal spiritual form of Lord Shiva. So look-wise, there's Nandi, and there's Uma, and there's Ganesh, and all the characteristic personalities whom we see in posters and paintings, and we have some, it's all right, look up. We have some idea of who they are and what they look like. So it's rather, to our vision, it looks the same, whether they're prototype or localized. You know, in terms of what their characteristics and qualities, but one has a spiritual body and one has a materially constituted body. Sadashiva does not destroy when everything is, you know, wound up in Mahavishnu. Sadashiva continues to exist, but the Shiva in this universe will vanish. The prototype demigods are eternal. You know, that's why in the spiritual world, there's, you know, Radharani, in the spiritual world, she's going to worship Suryadeva. Well, how do you have material demigods in the spiritual world? They're not material. And how do you have Chandra? And then they're talking to the moon and all these things. They're spiritual. I remember once Sridhayananda Maharaj was here and back in 1989 or so, we were at a Damodar, and he was going on a tour, you know, of Parikrama of the temple, and he went to the back by Rupa Goswami's Samadhi, and there weren't any lights around, it was maybe, you know, black, you know, power failure, whatever, load shedding, so there was no lights in the courtyard, and it was just a beautiful starlit night. And you could, practically, it's like the proverbial, you could reach out and touch the stars. They were very low on the horizon. You know, they started at, you know, 10 degrees level and went all the way up and all the way over. And he's a very dramatic speaker, the way he speaks. And he was with his entourage, his bunch of his shishyas. And I was just kind of tagging along as, you know, local caretaker, so to speak, god brother. So then he said, "Just look, just look at this sky. This is not an ordinary sky." And I said, "Yeah, it's a spiritual sky." I just thought, what's the big deal? But, you know, he was astounded by whatever kind of darshan he was having at the moment that Vrindadevi or Balaram was revealing to him. He said, "Just see these stars. I've never seen in Brazil or Europe or anywhere, I've never seen so many stars. The sheer brilliance of these stars and the vast number of these stars. And there's more, this is not a material sky. This canopy above us is surely the spiritual sky. These are all spiritual planets." So, if you haven't become completely confused, let's keep going. Maybe we'll achieve our success. I think I've got you three quarters of the way there. If I work hard, I can get you all the way there.